It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My next guest is Kimberly Stewart. She lives in Des Moines and has published 8 novels. Her latest is called Heartland, and it tells the story of an Iowan who left home with a dream to make it big in the New York fashion industry, but falls flat and comes back home to rebuild her life. And Kim Stewart is here with me now. Hello.
Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I know you've been prolific in writing books over the last 15 years or so, and I'm curious about how this started for you, because I know that your writing career started about the time that you started your family, which is a time in life when a lot of women have very little time and very little extra energy. Tell me how it began.
You know what? I don't know that I had a ton of extra energy, but I did. I went from teaching in public schools, which I loved, and I actually taught out here in Anamosa area, in Anamosa High School, and I loved my students. I loved my job, but it was very social. And I went from being with my students and my colleagues to staying at home with my very, very little newborn. Her name is Anna. She's 15 now. But at the time, she was not super verbal. She was not talking with me.
And it was pretty isolating.
It was pretty isolating. So my husband would come home from work at the end of the day, and I would just attack him with questions about all sorts of conversations. He was in the University of Iowa's dental school at the time. And so, I mean, let's be honest, those aren't incredibly interesting conversations at dental school. But I did it anyway. I was like, did they floss? Were they horrible flossers? So I think he was getting a little nervous and said, I think maybe you should revisit some old dreams, like writing. How about writing so that you don't scare me every time I come home at 5:30? So he was really the first impetus to say, you know, maybe you should just think about that. And so it was during nap time that I sat down with my laptop and just started hammering out word by word. And that's where it all began.
That's a dream that a lot of people have. Very few get to make it into a reality. What do you think clicked? How did you make that connection?
Well, a huge reason that it worked is because of my mom. My mom is a cheerleader. My mom and dad are both lovely people. And I think sometimes my parents have been able to speak into dreams that I've had before I was able to really admit them. So my mom was kind of prodding, yeah, go keep doing that, keep doing that. And the first step was entering a little contest here at the University of Iowa for the alumni magazine. I did graduate work here. And so I was receiving the magazine, and they had a little contest for a short piece. I submitted, and I won. And I was shocked, because I didn't think, I was astonished that an idea could become a check. So that gave me just enough courage to keep pressing on. And my parents actually gave me a gift certificate to go down to a writer's conference not too long after that. When I opened it up, I burst into tears, I think because I hadn't really admitted to myself yet that that was something that I wanted to do. So I headed to a writer's conference and met who would become my editor for the first 2 books.
Now, tell me a little bit about your influences, your inspiration. I've read Heartland, your most recent novel, which is, it's romantic, it makes you feel good. It's a fun adventure, really a love letter to Iowa and to small towns in Iowa as well. But when you were deciding what to write and who you wanted to be as a writer, who were your inspirations?
You know what, at the time, I was looking for that. I wrote a book that I wasn't able to find at the very beginning of my career. I was really looking for funny, smart books that were kind of Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movies in literary form. That's what I wanted to read, and I really had a hard time finding them on the shelves. So my writing was a reaction to that. I would talk with my girlfriends on the phone, and we would laugh hysterically about early parenthood and all the things that were involved in being a woman at this stage of the game. And I could not find books that reflected that. And so really my writing has always come out of, well, what would my friends like to read? And that's where I usually land.
It's interesting because you are writing during this period where there's really been an explosion of what's called chick lit. Mm. And you kind of straddle that genre, I would say, and the romance genre, although you don't quite fit either category. So what sets you apart?
Well, that's a kind thing to say. I like it that you framed it in both of those worlds. I do feel like there's levity and there is fun in these books, but also I never want a reader to park her brain at the door. So I don't feel like for there to be a chemistry-driven romance that you have to give up thinking. And so I am kind of in a little mini niche of, I guess, romantic comedy, but they're not super saccharine and they're not, I hope they're not brainless. I really like to have some depth of the characters in the plot. So I'm trying to hit my friends. I'm trying to hit the conversations with these thoughtful, smart, funny women that I hang around with all the time. And so I hope that through my books, I'm connecting with readers like that.
Well, and clearly you are connecting with readers. Do you remember the first time that you heard from a fan that wasn't somebody in your circle, wasn't a friend, wasn't your mom or dad,
right?
But somebody who reached out to you and told you what this meant to them?
I do. And I sat at my computer and cried. It's incredibly gratifying, right? For any person putting out a piece of their own work or their art, their writing, music, to have someone connect with you who's not in your DNA pool is just huge. I love my DNA pool. Thank you, DNA pool, for always buying my books. But to have someone, you know, go out of their way to say that was just, I have a folder called Kind Words, and I put them all in there. It's just, that's a lovely, lovely moment every time it happens.
So you were pregnant with your second child when you published your first book.
Right.
And you have three kids. So this was many years of trying to squeeze in the writing around nap times and
right.
other things. And you have said that you can't write with a lot of noise in the background, which sounds like an incredible liability for a parent. So how did you do it? How do you do it?
I do just what so many women are doing every day. You know, I carve out spots that I can, where I can have some quiet and some time alone. I really feel like I try to treat it honestly like a doctor's appointment and pretend that I just cannot miss it. Because if I look at the laundry pile and I realize I haven't actually scrubbed my toilets in a long time, then, sorry, Mom, then I get distracted. I really have to pretend like it's just something I cannot violate that time with my writing. And then I also give myself the freedom when I'm done writing for the day, when I've hit my word count, then I shut that laptop and I go back to the rest of my life. I have to give myself the grace and freedom to do that as well. Otherwise, I feel torn no matter where I am. So.
Well, and we have legendary stories like J.K. Rowling talking about writing in a coffee house
right.
when she would walk until her daughter would fall asleep and then sit in the coffee house and write. You can't do that. That's too noisy for you.
Well,
so you used to write at the public library, right?
I did. I wrote an entire book at the West Des Moines Public Library, overlooking the Canadian geese, who are not incredibly interesting after like day two. So that was the perfect fit for me. I had a view of the pond, but I also knew I had to get to work, so.
Well, just last week, I was talking to another author who wrote at least one of her novels at the Des Moines Public Library. So
mm-hmm.
now every time I walk into the public library, I'm going to wonder what's happening in the little the carousels
That's
and the
right.
cubicles. Let's talk about Heartland. This is a novel, as I mentioned, it's about a young woman. She's about 28 or so, mm-hmm. and she's gone off to New York City to try to create a career for herself in the fashion mm-hmm. industry. And that falls flat. And she comes back home and has to rebuild her life. And of course, as I mentioned, it is a romance. So reconnecting with an old flame and with her grandmother who raised her and all of these things. But the idea for writing an Iowa novel actually didn't come from you. It came from your publisher. Tell me about that.
Right. So I had written another novel years ago called Act Two that had at least half of the book set in Iowa. And it was so much fun to write. And I was eager to do it again, but the opportunity came to me from my publisher who approached me and said, you know, we'd really like a Midwestern story. And we think it'd be great if you would use your experience in Ohio.
Oh, of course they did.
I did. I let that one go because I was like, you know what? There are a lot of vowels, so I know. But you know what? It really was a total education for both sides of this, right? For the for the New York side of things. They had a lot of questions and maybe some misconceptions about what I was like. And for my side of things, I had to clarify often, you know, what is Manhattan life like for real? I've visited, but I haven't lived there. And so I think we both learned from each other. And I'm pretty sure they now are completely clear. It's Iowa.
So in writing about your home state, where you moved away for a long time, mm-hmm. and your husband actually had to convince you to move back. But what did you want to communicate with people? I know this will be widely read in Iowa, but it will also be widely read outside of Iowa. What did you want people to know about the state?
Well, it is impossible for me to talk about Iowa now without getting a goofy grin. I just think it's such a fantastic place to live. You mentioned I left for a while. I went to school in Minnesota, and then I lived in Chicago and Minneapolis. We lived in Costa Rica for a while. We lived in Nebraska. I lived in Texas. I kind of made the rounds. And then we did return to Iowa to raise our family and to be close to family here. And I cannot tell you how much I love it. I love the schools here. I love the communities here. This book talks a lot about the strong communities that make up our rural state. And so to be able to, you know, pay tribute to them and to the specifically to the older women who are living in those towns and who have given so much to those towns, I can't, no one will read this book and wonder where I stand on Iowa. I just think it's just a wonderful, unique, and beautiful place.
You also give us a little bit of a glimpse into how difficult it can be to live and work mm-hmm. in a small town. I mean, a lot of the jobs have disappeared. A lot of the main streets are empty. It's not just a love letter, but it also reads like a hope, a wish list for a small Iowa community.
Mm, that's beautiful. I'm going to steal that line. It is a wish list. I've seen that happen, right? We see when small towns get reborn and get a breath of fresh air into a new era. And it's inspiring and beautiful to watch that. And it was really wonderful to write about.
When you were asked to write a book about the Midwest, it wasn't just because your publisher wanted that to happen, but it's also an idea that, oh, wait, maybe there is something happening in the middle of the country that people should know about. Mm. So why do you think now is the time to tell Midwestern stories?
I think we're at a moment when at least in literature, I hope in the larger public discourse, I think people are remembering that there's a very large swath of the country between those two coasts. A lot of the books that I have read, particularly in kind of more pop culture books, a lot of them center either in LA or New York. And I think there's an awakening. It's quiet, and I think it can still gather some steam. But I've heard over and over that it's not just from Midwestern readers, but from also other readers who are really enjoying reading about and thinking about and talking about what's happening between the two coasts. And I love it. That is right up my alley, to be able to talk about what's happening here and to know that there are vibrant, thriving communities here in our state.
I have to ask you a question about sex.
Okay.
Because I mentioned that this is a romance novel,
right.
But you leave pretty much everything up to the imagination. And maybe things happen, maybe things don't happen. Have you felt pressure to be more explicit in writing romance novels?
I have. I have felt that pressure. Yes, in fact, for one of my novels, we had, my agent and I had kind of a paltry offer. And with that, and it was from a very large house, a reputable one, that said, if you will just raunch it up a little bit, or a lot, actually, they recommended, we can sell more copies of this book. And so they were kind of moving on that was at the tail end of 50 Shades of Grey. And, you know, publishing is a business, and they bank on what they know they can sell.
And right. Those books sold
very well. And so I declined the offer and was nervous that was the end. Happily, that wasn't the end of that story. And that book, Sugar, got picked up by another New York house. But yes, I have absolutely felt that pressure. I feel like it's there's room on the shelf for a lot of different titles, including Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I really do. And you know, I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old who live in my house and who read my books. And so that's part of it, too, that I feel like if I'm having a larger conversation with them and then writing something that is not necessarily in line with those conversations, that that would be sending a message that I don't want to send to my kiddos. So, like I said, there's room for all. But for me, I've really loved writing a book that has witty dialogue and some banter and some of that kind of chemistry building and doesn't necessarily jump straight to the bedroom.
You mentioned your novel, Sugar, and you mentioned Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. I mean, that is in talks right now to be a film.
Well, the talks. Oh, the talks. Yeah. Yes, there are talks, but I'm a little bit, I'm from Iowa, but I am not a dummy. And I know that even that I'll, until things are signed, I probably won't believe it. But yes, I'm always hearing producers are calling my agent
regularly. Is that your dream to be writing for the next Tom Hanks
so
and Meg Ryan?
Fun. It'd be so fun. I mean, I'm definitely a book writer, not a screenwriter, but it would be super, super fun to see something come to life like that.
All right. Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
All right. Yes. Keep in touch about that. Kimberly Stewart, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It was a total joy.
Kimberly Stewart, she is the author of 8 different novels. She lives in Des Moines and started writing shortly after starting her family. Her most recent book is called Heartland. It's the tale of a young woman from Iowa who goes off to the big city to make it big in the fashion industry and then has to come home to rebuild her life. Also, I want to mention that Kimberly Stewart will be at Plot Twist Bookstore in Ankeny on September 13th, citing her latest book. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Caitlin Harrop, and Lindsay Moon. You can get in touch with us anytime. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also follow us on Twitter @Iowa Public Radio. I'm there as well @Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.